Okay, we're going to take our reading lesson today from the Roman letter, and I'll give you the chapter here, Romans, the fifth chapter. Now, sometimes I don't give my thought before I get ready to try to preach God's word or even read. And then sometimes I do, sometimes I'll read, sometimes I don't read. I'm just one that I want to just do what the Lord would have me to do. But I'm going to tell you this morning what God has laid upon my heart. And it's a subject that is concerning death. It's a subject that we all should be made aware of, even as God's children, but most assuredly those that are lost and separated from God. They need to take heed to this word or subject of death. The subject that God's given me is death is sure, hell is hot, and eternity is long. Now I'm going to read from the fifth chapter, and I'm going to start at the 12th verse. This here, just to let you know a little bit, this tells you somewhat what we hope, if the Lord will help us, to be able to turn over to the book of Genesis and to try to tie that in with actually where sin started at, which I want you to understand today, and we all that's been saved understand this. Of course, the lost is not going to understand it until God reveals it to them. But death is actually brought about because of sin. And so we want to see where sin actually started from. And so we're going to look at that because this is the first part of our subject today. And it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And this is where the scripture comes from, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So it's saying that we all, because of this sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden, and that's where we find that in the book of Genesis, because of his disobedience there and disobeying God, the commandment that he gave him there in the Garden of Eden, but he placed him there, after he had created him, and he placed him there to be a keeper over that garden. And he placed all manner of trees there that he might be able to partake of and to eat for food, except one. He placed one in the midst of that garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told him, he gave him commandment there to not eat of that tree, nor touch it or look upon it, lest you shall die. So he gave him a commandment there, and that's where Adam and Eve, because Adam, according to what I can understand from the Word of God, he sinned willfully and went and partaken of that forbidden fruit. So he brought sin down upon all mankind. So we wonder sometimes, why does man have to be redeemed from his sin? It's because the sin came into the world through Adam and is passed down upon all of mankind after that, generation after generation after generation, because we are sinners by nature. So this is the reason why that we have to be saved. This is the reason why that God knew that man was going to fall from this state. And this is the reason why that God made a redemption plan that we might be able to be brought back in a good state with him, or to be brought back in a state of being able to be in fellowship with him once again because of sending his son into the world and dying for our sin and giving us an opportunity to be able to be this away or be saved. So we're going to read a little bit farther here. It says, "For unto the law, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." That means it took the law that God had made there. When we think about the law, I think about the Ten Commandments, and because of that law, we are aware of the sin that we're not supposed to be doing. Now, I want to stress right here a little bit about this, because the Bible does not teach that the law, any man can keep the law in other words, in order to be saved. So God is saying the law is to let you know that you are a sinner. And to let you know, because that's what it means to be imputed. It means it's not going to be charged against you if God is not giving you a law to let you know what not to do. I hope I'm trying to make myself as clear as I possibly can this morning, that God might reveal to you. God wants everyone to know that they are a sinner in His sight before that they come to Him to be able to be saved. It takes someone to have that knowledge and knowing, and God makes it possible by His Holy Spirit to reveal that to you and to let you know how you stand in His sight. So God is this is the love of God. This is the love of God that knew man was going to fall from His perfect state that He made Adam in. And so by doing so, he made a redemption plan. And that redemption plan included His Son, the only begotten of the Father, the one that came into this world and loved you enough to go to the cross, the Calvary, to give His life there for all mankind, that they might be able to be brought back into fellowship with God. Now, I want you to understand that death we're talking about, death is sure. I want you to understand today that life is uncertain. That the Bible teaches us that even the living know that they're going to die. And so the Bible teaches us that because of the sin there in the Garden of Eden, the penalty of death was brought upon this body. And so the Bible teaches us that this body is going to go back to the dust of the earth from whence it come. And so God is saying that it's not going to live on and on and on forever, in spite of what somebody might try to teach you or tell you. This body went in, and I thought about this the other day when I was studying about this. From the very time that I believe that you are and begin to live, even in your mother's womb, even from then, you're going to begin to die. So from the very point of life, you begin to die. And that's what we do. We die. We're dying daily. But one day, death is going to come upon this old body. And so God is saying in this life, while you have the breath in you, while you still have your spirit within you, God has given you ample opportunity to seek Him for the soul salvation, to know for a surety that you have life with Him, life eternal. So God is saying that in this life, while you have that opportunity, because death is coming upon you, and so God wants you to see that today, that every one of us are heading for eternity one day. It's coming upon all of us. I thought to myself, this is an appointment that I had here this morning. I could have missed this appointment. But I'm telling you right now, people, there's an appointment for all of us. According to the Scripture, it is appointed for us, for man to die, and after this, the judgment. God has placed that in His Word. And I'm not going to take time to turn over there, but it's in there. It's appointed unto man once to die. Even in the 14th chapter of Job, it said, "Man that is born of a woman." Remember what I told you a while ago. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And it talks about a death that's coming upon him in that 14th chapter of Job. And it said, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" God has made a way whereby you can live again. And it says, if a tree falleth, so shall it lie. If it falls in a state of being separated from God eternally, that's the way it's going to be. That's why God says, you must seek it while you have the time and the opportunity. So death is sure. So everyone must understand that death is sure. Let me turn over here. I didn't do it a while ago. If y'all will give me time, I want to prove some of this to you about in Genesis. Sometimes people, I love the Genesis because I love the Bible. I love the Bible and the truths in it. And what you can find to prove to you of what thus saith the word of God. It's in here. God wants you to know that it's in here. And in Genesis, in the second chapter, in the 16th verse, and I'll start with the 15th verse. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. Remember what I told you a while ago? And he said, and the Lord God commanded. Here's what I tried to tell you a while ago. Commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He provided for this man. He provided everything that this man would need right there in that garden to sustain his life there. But he didn't take a good advantage of it after God. And I want us to understand today that's the way we are as human beings. We are still sinners in the sight of God because man wants to do what man wants to do. And that's talking about this flesh. So God says you still got to deal with this flesh. Even after you get saved, you have to deal with it. And so because it's going to want to do what it wants to do. It's a battle every day for us as God's children. We have a battle to try to walk in the ways that God would have us to walk. But it says here, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now I know it doesn't say there that death is just going to be one fold, but it's more than one fold. When you get to studying about it, it's more than one fold because he is actually separated from God spiritually. He has not yet died carnally. He's still a living, but he's still dying. And from that time on, I believe that he began to die then. I believe God, when he made Adam, I believe he made him in a perfect state. If he'd have stayed in that state in here, here's that little word if. And I want you to understand that little word if can make a great big difference if it's followed after what I'm trying to say. But it didn't follow that way. And God, in the foreknowledge of God, knew that he was not going to stay in that perfect state. And so willfully, he sinned against God there and went against that commandment, and he brought sin upon the whole world. I want you to know that he brought sin not upon all of those after him, all the way to the very end. So all mankind has to come through what? By the sword of the Spirit, by Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, has to quicken your or to prick your heart to cause you to realize where you stand in the sight of God. And he says, and the Lord God said unto, it's not, no, I'm not going to read that. It's going on about a man and woman. Y'all excuse me while I get a swig of water. Y'all pray for me today. I think that we have pretty well established that death is sure, that life's uncertain. I hope that you can understand that today. And God wants you to understand that because of this sin is a separator. Sin is, not only does sin separate us like this, that we're going to die carnally and die spiritually. But it's also for us as God's children, and I'll just briefly hit this. It's also a separator from us and God as God's children. This is to us that are saved. If we don't follow after God, it puts. I don't mean that it separates you to the point you're going to die and go to a devil's hell, because I believe, according to the Word of God, when He saves you, He gives you life eternal. It's forever. What He does for you is forever. But, here's a but here, but the body, on the other hand, it still sins, so it separates us from being able to have that sweet fellowship with God and that joy that I feel in my heart today, just to be a child of God and try to serve Him. And God wants you to be able to feel that. He wants you to be able to enjoy that. So death is sure. Life's uncertain. Now let's go to the second part of this. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I believe. And I know you believe this too. That people need to realize there is a place called hell. And it is real. And when I got to thinking about this second part of this that God gave me to try to bring out to you today, when it said hell is hot, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, you, a lot of times people will put emphasis on that hot. It's like it's going to be so hot you're not going to be able to stand it. But the thing about it is, when I got to studying about this and meditating upon it, God wanted me to try to open up to you what the Scripture says about it, that it's going to be unpleasant. It's not going to be a place that you're going to find any comfort. It's going to be for eternity. It's going to be like, according to the Word of God, it's going to be eternal punishment. Everlasting, what that means. And that's the last part of the thought of our thoughts today. In other words, eternity is long. So we can put that in with this one here. So it's everlasting punishment or torment. The Bible speaks about it's a place of torment. It's a place of everlasting punishment. Why? Because now we're going to try to tell you why. Why does a person have to go here? Well, the Bible plainly speaks about that hell was only created for the devil and his angels. That's what it was created for. But it's a place that man goes to choose to go to not seek out for his soul salvation. Or when God gets to deal with an individual, and I want you to listen to this, when God gets to dealing with us, with a person, and He lets them know how they stand in His sight, and they keep putting Him off, and pushing Him back, and saying no, and won't go. Why? For different reasons. Why? Sometimes it may be because they're a little embarrassed about being able to cry in front of somebody or seek the Lord in front of somebody. But the thing, the biggest part of it, is when it's all built up in pride, pride stands before a person seeking the Lord. So they let pride stand in their way of seeking out their soul salvation and finding God precious to their soul. And finding Jesus and seeing of that He, and this is what you have to see. You have to believe in Him with all of your heart. God has made it possible where you don't have to go to this place. So we want to read a little bit further here, and it says, "But not as nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." This is talking about the first man was Adam, the second man was Jesus. Jesus had to come into this world, and He was also not only the Son of God, but He was the Son of Man. You got to remember, He took on the flesh of man. And what that means is, it didn't mean that He took on a sinful flesh, but He took on a flesh that He could feel pain, that He knew pain, and that He knew sorrow, that He knew what it was like to be pushed away, to be turned down, to people to not want to believe that he was who he was. He felt all of that. And the Bible even goes on to say that he was tempted one time. It said that he was tempted in every point as we are. So God said that Jesus, the Son of Man, was tempted in every way, in every point that we are as mankind. But he didn't give in to it as sin, because Jesus could not sin, because he was the Son of God. And there was no way that he would be a perfect sacrifice if he did so. So Jesus is the only perfect sacrifice. He is the only one that lived here upon the face of the earth and walked this face of this earth, that kept the whole law. The only one that could keep the whole law. The Bible plainly teaches that we as that none of us as mankind can keep that perfect law. It says, "For if you are offensive in one," in other words, if you fail in one, you're guilty of them all. That's what the Bible says. That's exactly what it teaches. So you can't keep the law to be able to get to heaven. You can't keep the law to be able to be a child of God. You've got to turn to the one that went to the cross for you and loved you and died for you to keep you out of this place that's called hell. I want to turn over here, if I may. Let's see. In the Matthew, the 25th chapter. Now, it's talking about an unprofitable servant here. And I've been talking about an unprofitable servant to a certain extent here this morning. And that's a person, and I'll back up here. That is a person that keeps turning, resisting God and resisting the Holy Spirit to deal with them to come to God. And what it's saying there is, if you continue in that state, in other words, keep on going in the state you are and resisting God. Because God, now let's understand something today. God wants me to establish this with everybody today. God is not going to save anyone against his own will. Well, so what God is saying is, you've got to want to come to God in order to be saved. You've got to want to be able to miss this place that I'm trying to preach to you about today, when it says hell is hot, and that it's a place of torment, and that it's a place that you don't want to really, you don't want to go. But I tell you, people say they don't want to go, but a lot of times they don't want to do what they have to do in order to seek God for their soul's salvation. They keep putting it off and putting it off until tomorrow, until another time. Into a time that they don't even know whether they've got left or not. But they keep taking that chance. But it says here, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, in the 30th verse. And I want you to see what it says here. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So God is saying, in this place, it's called outer darkness here. So hell is also a place that's going to be dark. So what I'm trying to preach to you about today about hell is that it's not only going to be a place of torment in a sense of, and we got to understand, and God wants you to understand this today. If you're sitting under the sound of our voice today, And you've not been saved, and you know it in your heart, and you know how you stand in the sight of God, that if you die in that condition, that you're going to be going through torments of all that you heard while you're here upon this earth. You're going to remember all the warnings that you had from men like me, from whoever that has stood and preached to you, or whoever has witnessed to you about Jesus Christ and told you that Jesus Christ is the only way of escape from this awful place called hell that we're trying to preach about. Yeah, it's not a wonderful subject. It's not one probably that a lot of preachers want to preach about today, but it's one that's needed. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's one that's needed. Because people, I'm going to tell you right now, the lost has to be concerned about where they're going to spend eternity if they don't get right with God. God is trying through the help of me this morning, to help me to tell you that are sitting under the sound of our voice, that God does not want you to go to this awful place that's set aside for the devil and his angels and all of those that reject God all of their life. So what I'm trying to say is, the reason why a person goes there is they just continued to reject God continually. When does God stop dealing with an individual? I can't stand up here and tell you that. There might be some preacher tell you that they know when God's going to stop dealing with you, and that He may. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I'll tell you one that will know, and that's you. You'll know it. If God stops dealing with you, and I'm telling you right now, people, according to the Word of God, God has got to deal with your heart, and that takes that drawing power of His Holy Spirit to draw you unto to an altar of prayer, maybe not here, but somewhere, to seek Him for your soul salvation. Well, no matter where it's at, it can be anywhere. Ain't that good about our God? God can save you anywhere. He can save you out there in that parking lot. He can save you in your bed. He can save you in the car going down the road. He can save you over here in the Sunday school room. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be any certain place. This is a good place to come. Why? Because this shows forth that God still has an altar somewhere for the lost to seek Him. That's what this stands for. That's the reason why it's such a precious thing, that we might see that God is still in the saving business. He's still wanting to save souls. But you've got to come to Him as He draws you. So we see here that it's a place of darkness. You know, I don't know how dark it's. Some preachers probably try to paint it I don't really know. I don't know how dark it's going to be. But I will tell you what I believe about it. I believe it's going to be a place that's so dark you're not going to be able to see no light at all. You probably can't imagine being in a place that's so dark that you can't even see the hand in front of your face. But maybe you have been in places like that. And they say there's some places, like in caves, and some places that you can go that there's no light at all. But I'm going to tell you, according to what I can understand from this scripture that teaches about hell, it's not going to be a place where there's going to be any light whatsoever. So you're not going to be able to see what's in front of you, what's around you. I'm going to tell you something else too while we're here on this subject of what hell's like and about being dark. The Bible teaches, I've read it in here, I don't know whether I'll get to whether it's actually out in the scriptures here or not, but it teaches that it is a bottomless pit. It's also referred to as a bottomless pit. Now, can you imagine being in a place? Now, I want you to try to imagine this in your mind today. Even you that are saved, try to imagine being in a place that you can't place your foot on something solid. Now, that's what the Bible teaches that it's like. This place is not a place that anyone wants to go to. A bottomless pit. I can't imagine that in my own mind. I've been in water, and if you allow me to, I've been in water because I can't swim. I know what it's like to not have anything solid under my feet and just nothing but water. And it scares me to death to even think about that. I have been burnt somewhat, but not anything like some people have been burnt. And in some of the places that I've been burnt, just little bitty places, and you know what? Them little bitty places, they hurt. There's pain there. But the Bible says it's going to be a place of burning. And guess what? The Bible also teaches that it's going to be a place of burning that it's never going to stop burning. It's going to be a place of burning for eternity. So now you can understand why there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth there. Because there's going to be so much torment there that people are going to be, they're going to be gnashing on themselves. They're going to be weeping so. But I want you to understand something today. As much as God loves you and He loves all mankind, He's trying by the help that He's putting out there today to help you to see that you don't want to go to this place, and God is still knocking upon your heart and saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest of your souls." So in other words, God wants to give you this rest from all of this, to be free from all of this. So let me give you the scripture I'm trying to give you some proof this morning too. Y'all bear with me. I want to give you some proof. Just a few verses over here from that one that I just read to you about the darkness. In other words, outer darkness. In the 41st verse of that same chapter. And he says, "Then he shall say unto them that are on the left." I want you to understand, there's coming a time when God is going to have everyone stand before Him. And I believe that's called a judgment time. I believe that's what it's going to be. And those that are of the goats, which the goats are pertaining to those that have forsaken God forever in their life, they're going to be standing on His left. And all of those that are the sheep, which are the ones that have gotten into the fold through and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which have through faith and repentance have sought out God for the soul's salvation while they lived here in this life, while they walked here upon this earth, while they still had breath in them, and they sought the Lord and satisfied God to the saving of their souls, they're going to be on the right. But he said here, he said, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." I told you part of this thought I have today that its eternity is long. Everlasting means this fire is never going to be quenched. "Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This here proves to you what I told you earlier. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But all of those that fail, God is saying you're going to be going there. Because of why? Because you refuse to seek the Lord while you had the ample opportunity, had the time and opportunity. And that's why God says seek Him while you have the time and opportunity, while He is near in Isaiah. And God is still saying that He is near today. The door of mercy is still open. So, I want to give you some more proof here about some torments in hell. I know all of y'all probably heard about the rich man and Lazarus. So this is a true story in the Word of God, a true thing that happened here. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar that named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died." Now, we're going to find out. We were talking about death a while ago. The thing about death, I told you earlier, it's passed upon all mankind. This is something you're not going to miss. You know, you're not going to be late for either. When death comes upon you, it's going to be a time when you're unexpected. So many people think that they've got all kinds of time, and they can do anything they want to do, when they want to do it, just according to whatever they want to get done. But none of us have that promise. We don't know how much longer each one of us has in our life. If death is nowadays, it's coming upon people in a lot of different ages, from the young to the old. But it's still coming. And so he's saying here that this poor man, the beggar, said he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Which no doubt this man had to have been saved. Because he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Where was Abraham? According to the scriptures, he was in heaven. So he was carried there to be with Abraham. When it says when he was in his bosom, I've often thought about this. I often thought it's like the only thing that I can even get an idea or a picture of what it must have been like is Abraham standing there with his arms open and the beggar was going into his arms and it was like he was hugging him up, greeting him to heaven. That's the only thing that I can say. You might say, well, do you have proof of that? It just says that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's the only thing that I've got proof there. But that's what I believe that it was like for him. And it says, and the rich man also died and was buried. So we got proof that both of them died. The rich man, now we got to understand about this rich man. He was a rich man in that he held on to his riches. There's no proof here that he ever got saved. There's proof in the scriptures that he must have heard about it because he wanted to send Lazarus here back that he might dip his finger in water to cool and come back and cool his tongue. But the thing about it is he also was talking about his five brothers. He didn't want his five brothers. I believe it's five brothers. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was five brothers. And he didn't want his five brothers to come there. And he said, unless they repent. So he knew something about repentance. He no doubt he heard about repentance. But guess what the rich man done? Not because he had a lot of wealth. Not because he had a lot of money and a lot of things. But he put his trust in that wealth and those things above his soul. So he wound up going to a place called hell. He was actually the poor man, and the poor man was actually the rich man. Do you understand that? So the rich man that was poor, actually he got to go into the riches that God had laid up for him there in glory. And the poor man, he went to reap what he had sowed, which all his life he'd sowed toward what he thought he could put up for himself. And let his soul be at ease. Like I've been talking about today. For the lost. And you might say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I'm just this or I'm just that. I'm not very old. And some of you may be. And I don't know the heart of everybody here. But the thing about it is anything that you put above your soul salvation, that's like riches. That's like pride. That's like anything that stands in your way of seeking out for your soul salvation. That's keeping you from finding God. Whether it be, I don't want people to see me. Tomorrow. Anything. If you put it off, you're putting it off. Now, I realize this. God's got to deal with you before you can seek Him, really find Him. That I really know. But there's a lot of times I believe God deals with the lost today and they just sit idly by. And they know. They know whether they are or not. But this rich man, he knew too because he had been taught repentance. There's no doubt. Because it says here, he says in the 30th verse, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. So he knew something about repentance. So hell, when it says that it's hot, that means it's hot with all of this torment. It's like being in a place. I want you to try to picture this today. And I want you lost. I want you to picture this. I want you to try to picture yourself being in a place where you can't get no relief. No relief whatsoever. I'm talking about where you just constantly... you're feeling pain, constantly feeling the sorrows of your thoughts. And a lot of times, but when I think about this, I think about when God says something about a lost person dying, going to this place called hell, they're there, they're going to be thinking about their loved ones back home, and that's going to be a torment. You may not believe that, but I believe it. They're going to be able to think about that. When it talks about torments, it's talking about being tormented in all manners of ways because they're going to be able to remember We that are saved, that's look at the other side of it. We that are saved, when we go to heaven, we're not going to be able to remember you. Because it says the former things of this life are going to pass away. So that's talking about everything that we remembered about this life, I believe, is going to pass away. We're not going to be able to remember you. We won't. We won't have no remembrance. Why? Because it'll be sorrow. There's not going to be no sorrow in heaven. There's not going to be no pain in heaven. There's not going to be no trouble in heaven. All of those things are going to be done away with. The former things of this life. So, death is sure. We all know we're going to die. And let me tell you something while we're here. I'm going to try to wind this up. I don't know what time it is. I don't have a clock, watch, or nothing. I don't. My phone is out there in the car. But I'm not worried about time right now. Y'all may be. But let me tell you something about this death. When I preach to you and I'm telling you that death is sure, God is saying that the only way a person, now the first death I was talking to you about was natural. The natural death, it's sure, it's coming upon you. Now the other death right there is spiritual death. God is trying to say that Adam and Eve, that separation also come upon them in the spiritual sense. They become separated from God spiritually. At that time, they partaken of that fruit. Not that forbidden fruit. So, why do you say, preacher, that's so? Well, they were naked. But they didn't know they were naked before. So they knew they were naked when God come strolling through the garden. And he knew where they was at. But he said, Adam, where art thou? And he spoke up. And he said something about that we was naked and we hid ourselves. And he said, who told you he was naked? He knew that they had partaken of that forbidden fruit. The only way that they could be saved, that they knew it. So God is saying, you're going to face of this knowledge of knowing that you are lost and separated from God. God is saying that's not another way you're going to miss hell. Because it's going to be made known to you. How? I don't know. The Holy Spirit is the way that I see it today. The Holy Spirit will let you know how you stand in the sight of God. He did me. And when I was lost and when I realized my lost condition as an 8-year-old boy, that Holy Spirit knocked upon my heart and let me know how I stood in the sight of God. The Bible teaches that We need to have an understanding of it, and that's where godly sorrow has to set up, because of what we try to preach to you today. And that godly sorrow that the psalmist David was talking about when he said the pains of hell got a hold upon me and the sorrows of death can pass me, he was talking about dying and being separated eternally from God. And that's what brought him to saying but he said over there, deliver my soul. He sought the Lord. And he said, deliver my soul. And in other words, he was seeking out God to deliver him from that awful pain that he was feeling about dying and going to a devil's hell. And so that's a death that you're going to face too. And so God is saying, if you, of course, remember, What we teach according to the Word of God, you've got to have your right mind. This is not where you get saved at. But you've got to have your right mind to know that you are a sinner in the sight of God. And God wants you to understand that today. God loves everyone that much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world enough to know, because He sent the Lamb. It was promised even before we were born. The Lamb was slain before the... This is how much we can trust in God. He was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that meant no, He hadn't went through that yet. But that was just as sure as it was going to be. That He was going to come into this world and die for us. That we could be set free. This is my message today. Remember the thought. And I want you to understand that when the Bible speaks about eternity, then I'll be through. When it speaks about eternity, the only thing that we can find out about proof in the Bible when it says about eternity, that means it's everlasting. All of us know what everlasting means, don't we? I mean, if you're in your right mind, you know what everlasting means. That means there's no end to it. Everlasting means it just goes on and on and on and on. There is no end. And you know how we can determine that with God? The Bible says about God is, when somebody asks you about God, where did God come from? God has always been. He says, He in the Scripture says He is from everlasting to everlasting. That means He has always been. That's the reason why He says, I am the first and the last, and He is Alpha and Omega. He's always been. I do have one more scripture, if y'all would allow me to. I want to give you this about hell and about you. I promise you, I'll try to be through. I found this in Isaiah. I remember reading it, remember hearing about it, and I thought, where's it at? So I thought, I'm going to look this up. And what I'm about to tell you is, it speaks about a place where the worm shall not die and the fire is not quenched. Found it in the Old Testament, of all places. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, the 24th verse. And it says here, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men and have transgressed against me. And he's talking about all the lost. I've been talking to you about it this morning. For their worm, and I believe, this is what I believe. I'm going to tell you, this is my belief and what I believe that worm means. And you might say, well, is this something that you can prove? No, I can't really prove it, but that's the reason why I'm going to tell you this is what I believe that it is. I believe that when it speaks about this worm, I believe it's speaking about the soul of man. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You got to remember that your soul, this is where your soul is going to spend eternity if you fail to get right with God. So I believe God is referring to, this is what I believe, that God is referring to your soul at that time as a worm. Most people knows about a worm. A worm is just something that crawls on. There might be some purposes for worms in this life, but I believe he's referring to a worm. And let me just tell you a little bit about this, and then I'll try to be through. Have you ever cast a worm in a fire while it was burning? I'm sorry to say I've done that before, so I know what that's like. And you might say, well, that's mean to you. When I was a little boy, I just wanted to see what would it do. Guess what it does? It just wiggles and squirms trying to get out of there. Now that might sound like an awful thing to try to say, but that's exactly what it does. But it will just burn up. But God is saying the fire is not quenched with a person's soul, and it won't ever burn up. So the people that teaches you that you're going to be able to go to hell and you're just going to burn up and that's going to be over with, that's not true. According to the Word of God, it's going to be an everlasting burning, everlasting punishment. I am through. I guess I'm supposed to turn this back over to you, right?